What's good, y'all? Your boy Brandon back again. Another episode of the On the Run podcast, man. I got Benji and Noah in the studio with me. And this week, we got two very, very special guests. One of them has been on before, and we've had plenty of conversations. And I always tell them about how that interview literally made me fall even more in love with podcasting. I kind of compare it to, you know, when boxers have a really hard fight and they really fall in love with the sport, even if they lose or they win, right? Just the training camp and the war that they fight really makes you fall in love with the sport even more. It's like that, man. But we got Luis and Steven in the studio today.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate you.
That was a great intro.
Shout out, you know, shout out to you for having us. And, you know, for people that don't know, you know, B and, you know, his co-host and everybody, they've been working hard to get to where they're at. So shout out for having us.
We appreciate it.
It means a lot.
Hell yeah. But yeah, one thing we talked about in that first episode, you kind of broke down a story about losing your dad and sort of the trials and tribulations that you faced with regards to that before and after,
yeah,
and sort of how you built yourself back better. And first off, I want to congratulate you, bro, because I know when we did that interview, I could still tell there was still some things you were working on. It was kind of like a transition period in your life. And I'm so glad that you're back in Vegas now. You're around your family.
Yeah.
You seem much happier, like more at peace, bro.
Yeah,
Even though you're in the gym training all the time, you know, staying focused, you seem more like at peace. Like you're yourself again. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I do feel the same way, bro. And honestly, bro, at that time when we did that first interview, I had just moved to Vegas. No, I was in the process of moving here.
Yeah,
actually,
you were.
I came
yeah.
to visit. And, you know, a good friend group of the people you surround with, that's a testament. I'm a testament of that what the people that are around really do matter. What you keep around you, it matters, bro. Like, for example, like you know, my brother pushing me, my coach, my mom, seeing my mom going back home to a home where you're like, I want more than this. It gives you like, I'm not comfortable. So, it was a big eye opener coming back, and I almost felt like, it almost feels like when a dude is in jail and then comes back
you
out,
came home and shit. Yeah.
It feels like, dang, like I'm at a place, but thankfully I'm, you know, I feel good, bro. I'm back to who I wish I could have been 10 years ago, but I feel me again.
Yeah. But I feel like it was part of your journey having to leave and sort of face the issues that you had by yourself. In a way, it was also good for you to just focus on how you feel, because I also feel that if you would have stayed, you're someone that likes to give to others a lot, and you would have kind of maybe lost yourself and not really healed what you have inside before giving to other people.
Yeah, 100%, bro. And honestly, when I left, it was more so like, I'm a very worrisome type of individual, especially with my brother.
Yeah.
So me going out there, I was always like paranoid until I finally settled in and was like, he's going to handle his own thing. Like, I can't really sit here and continue to stress about things like that. But, you know, I was the one willing to get on a plane and go ASAP to go figure something out for my brother. So being able to now be more like, it's cool, he got it, is good. It's soothing, because now I know that he's a better man. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's good seeing your brother grow up, man.
Yeah, it's cool for me. It's cool for me.
I feel the same way, because I got a little brother, man. Yeah. And it's like that's your son, especially when something like that happens to you, like that becomes your son, and you feel like all of a sudden you're in it, right?
Yeah.
Before, as an older brother, you always kind of feel that way, but it's less like pressure on you, because you're like, okay, our parents got us, so on and so forth. But when you lose your dad, it's like, oh shit, now I gotta be the man. I gotta step up. I gotta make sure everybody's good. Like, is he doing good at school? Is he doing this? Like, is he fighting? Is he like, what's going on? And you have too many things going on in your brain.
People don't realize that though, bro, that like, for example, like our pops passed, and automatically off the back, like it just became like a duty.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want it.
No, yeah.
It just became, it lands on you, and people don't realize that, oh, that's why you're overprotective. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, I feel like I have to be. But to me, it was more so like, damn, how could I be? That's why I really never got into gangs. I never got into, like, other crazier stuff, because I always knew that there was somebody behind me following. And they might see it as, you know, them that they're younger, they might see it as like, oh, he thinks I'm his son, like, oh, what the fuck. Mm-hmm. It's not even that. It's not even on the side that I think I'm cooler or actual father to you. Nah, it's more so the fact that, like,
it's my responsibility.
I'm going deep for you, bro. Yeah, like, I'm gonna do whatever I need to do mm-hmm. to make sure that you're straight.
No, facts.
So, Steven, how was it on your side? Like, how did the whole process go down? Because I heard your brother's side on our first interview, but he was like, man, if I got my brother here, it would be like a whole complete story. So I'm excited for
definitely.
This episode.
I see his side, and like you said, it was very different because at that time, when my father died, I was 12. You know, I was a child. You know what I'm saying? So you don't really have a say in things. So you kind of just watch. You spectate everything going on. And it's kind of, you know, trippy growing up because you start to understand things later on. So it doesn't really hit you till you're a little older. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'm very grateful that I had him because he's a great role model. You know what I'm saying? Great role model for me. And I, like he was saying, he did everything perfect for me to see. And me to grow up, try to fit his shoes and go to college and go get a job, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. But definitely it was hard, you know what I'm saying? Because nobody wants to lose a father, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of crazy. But having him, it made me just see different things that other kids were seeing. But, you know, when I was younger, I was a scared young boy, you know what I'm saying? So everything hit me kind of hard, you know what I'm saying? It was very difficult.
He almost didn't know how to react.
I didn't know how to react to
because
things.
When you're 12, like, you don't really know what death is, especially when it's so close to you. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear about people dying, and you're like, but you don't really understand what that is. And more than that, you don't understand everything that's going to change after that, right? You're like, fuck, now we need more income. Yeah. Now who's the man of the house? Now who's taking care of this? Who's watching out for my mom and my sister and my brother, you know? Mm-hmm. And you don't know, like, when you're 12,
it's
you don't know.
Yeah, it's a trip. Especially realizing that you're never gonna see that person again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you just got done seeing that person. But you know what, bro? Going off of what he was saying, like as far as me, like that's why, you know, we're kind of talking about this before, you know,
the camera started rolling,
and we're saying like how people might see me as a different individual. Like I always want to start shit. I always want to fight. Like it's not even like that. Like I really enjoy being around people. I'm actually a people person, and I like to please people more so than me getting anything in return. Like I'm an individual like that. But in order for him not to get, you know, messed with or you know, done anything as, you know, as he got older, because we moved around in the same areas, so it's like you see the same individuals I saw, he now sees, and it's like I had to lay down the groundwork and get busy with certain individuals so that I knew as this who started growing that they were going to end up eventually being like, oh no, that's Coley's brother. Like, yeah, okay, exactly. Let's leave him alone. Yeah. That was my whole idea with it. That's
it's
why.
It's a respect thing, but you got to make sure that it's not starting shit. It's like, you got to make sure that
you
if something
know,
happens, I'm
going
to handle it.
Yeah, you got to know that I'm going to end up handling something. Right. So by all means, go ahead and mess with my brother. I'm coming right behind you though.
Right.
On you.
Yeah.
And the thing is that people don't realize that sometimes you got to put your foot on people's neck.
No, yeah,
and you know, it's not to be malicious or bad, because that's not the type of things I'm trying to spread. I'm trying to spread positivity, you know, because positivity is what led me to be here with you guys sitting down here with this opportunity, you know. It's not because I'm a dick and, you know, I have someone that's, you know, piece of shit, speak my language on the pot. Like, you're just not, bro. So I always laid down the groundwork to make sure that my brother was cool and that people knew that, you know, I hope my name is ringing in the back of your head.
Not facts. And can we tell the whole story from the beginning? Because I got to hear it, but my co-host didn't get to hear it. And for everybody that didn't listen to that episode, because that was right when I just started. That was in like May, I think.
Yeah.
So that was 4 months in. We're almost 2 years in now. So
yeah.
Shout out to all the viewers. But can we tell the whole story? And I want to get like both of your perspectives on like what's going on at the time. And
yeah, bro. So pretty much, you know, my dad had a very addicted personality, bro. My dad, everything he got his hands on, he really clamped on and went full force. And my family would come constantly from California and constantly would go gambling. So this who became a gambling addict, you know. And it came a point where my mom was like, hey, like, yo, you're an addict, bro. And, you know, an addict always wants to say otherwise, bro. So. Right. He was always like, nah, like you're tripping, this and that. And then he started doing drugs. He started doing other stuff. He ended up not being able to fulfill the shoes of a father. We ended up getting evicted. While he's still alive, he would go leave the house for like 3 weeks on end. And then he would come back on certain times. And this is why I tell people, like, I'm not afraid of another man. Like, there's no one else that I can't be afraid of a man. If you're telling me that at 3 in the morning, my dad was going to come through the door in the apartment, and because he's so fucking, you know, he's loped out that he wants to go straight to my mom to hit her because she was blaming him, supposedly because she was saying he's an addict. But it's true, bro.
Right, right.
He just was on another planet. And so he was mad about that. So we'd come in the door at 3 a.m. and try to get through and hit my mom. And he's in there and my sister's in there. And so what am I supposed to do? I'm sitting in the living room waiting for him to get there. So you're telling me that if I'm not scared of my own father who's loped out, you think I'm going to be afraid of another man, bro? So we had to do that. I had to do that. And then, you know, it became a point where I was like, you know what? Like, I was tired of it, bro. Like, I wouldn't want to come home from school. I would go to school all day. I wouldn't get home till like 8. Mr. Laguna, shout out to Ricardo Laguna's dad, the BMX rider. Mm. His dad worked at Sunrise as a hall monitor.
No shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he would always be like, I told him what was going on at home, and he was like, it's cool. Like, just don't say nothing and just leave through the outside door. It'll lock on its own. I would be in the weight room till like 8 p.m., bro. Bus it back home, you know, things like that. And, you know, in the trajectory of all this, there were still things happening. Like, well, I got on the city bus and he would get stuck up on the way to school on my aunt's house, on the scooter and stuff like that. And it became a point where it was so much, bro, that I felt like my dad was creating so much of this havoc that I even prayed one night and I was like, man, I don't want to see him killed in a ditch or some other crazy story where I'm not going to be able to live with that. So I was like, if it's your will to take him, like, take him. You know, that's what I prayed. That's what I prayed for, because there was so much going on. Mind you, at that time, my mom now had to work. She had no really ability to kind of like settle us down and give us love and all that, because she was working from 7 to 8 p.m., bro, almost 9. And she would just come home with a pollo rostizado or some Little Caesars. And that's it, you know.
Tired,
so you don't have that home.
Yeah, you don't get that connection anymore.
And you feel like your mom is like,
she's gone, right?
Yeah, and you kind of almost at some point blame her. Yeah. But it's like, oh, that's not the right thing to do, because she's trying her best to stay afloat, right?
But how long did it take you to realize that? Because it's hard to realize it in the moment. In the moment, you just sometimes you don't even notice that she's gone, but she is, and it has an effect on you. Because you're not getting any attention at home. You don't have a family structure. So you don't know what a family is. You don't know you don't have manners, because you're still a kid at the end of the day growing up. And when she's gone, it can just seem like, oh, well, we never talk. Right. You're never around. You never show up to, you know, my soccer games, or you never ask me how I'm doing in school. You don't ask me about my life.
Yeah.
But on her side, it's, you know, I just lost my husband. Yeah. Now I got to provide twice as much. My kids are at home. Like, it's either I share my time with them and we don't eat that day.
Yeah.
Or I just have to work this extra job in order to buy, even if it's just Little Caesars, so we can have something to eat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nah, and you know what? My dad was a machista. He didn't let my mom work.
Mm.
Like, he was the type to, like, say, like, if she wanted to dress pretty for her, if we're going out to eat to the buffet, and she's dressing pretty, not looking like a skank or nothing crazy, he's the one to tell her to come back home and change. And I seen that. And, you know, I never... Even at that time, while it was happening, bro, I never judged her. I always knew that was her duty, like, unintentionally. Like, that's what she had to do. So it never, to me, was like, oh, like, you know, you never gave me... Nah, bro, for some reason, bro, I always understood. Like, I always was an understanding person when that happened. Like, and that's why now, bro, like, I give her so much love, bro. And we give her so much love, bro. Yeah,
definitely.
She's a princess to us, because... like, we know what she probably felt. We don't ask her, but I know what you probably felt. You know why, bro? Because I would get home from I'd be at the park all day just to distract myself. Every day after school, like, we would be at the park with Herbie and Juan and them. And I always was like, damn, like, you know, I would come home and she would be crying because we lived in a trailer park. So it's not even drywall, bro. It's like cardboard. Like, you can fucking hear everything. And I would hear my mom crying. I'm like, damn, like. Yeah, I can't get on her for nothing right now. Like, you know what I mean? And ever, you know, like, I never questioned her and I never will, bro, because she's just trying to do her duty. And you can't, I've always been one to, if someone's doing their duty, their job to progress, I can never hate on them, regardless of if I hate the person or not. If they're doing something good, bro, shout out to you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you feel about that?
Like, I think definitely it came a little after, like I was saying. because at the time I didn't really understand too much, and I just wanted that love from my mom. You know what I'm saying? I just lost my father, and then so you, I think more time that passed, you start to realize how shitty you are. You know what I'm saying? As a child, being selfish. You know what I'm saying? Your mom's just doing everything just to give you shoes on your feet. You know what I'm saying?
And you're like, I don't like these shoes.
Yeah. And at the time, you're like, damn, these are ugly.
And now you in the door, and you're like, what the fuck?
And now you would die for some, for her to give you something now, you know what I'm saying? So we just appreciate her to the max, bro, for what she did. Even my sister, bro, they was just role models to us.
Yeah, role model. Like, I tell people all the time, like, they tell me, like, who's my hero? And I say my mom. You know, my mom's because, you know, I always think about it. And I always go back to, like, when you know, when I'm sick, I'm a sore loser when I'm sick, bro. When I'm like, tengo gripa, I'm a loser. Like, I'm, as a man, I'm a loser. And I've seen, you know, this fool sick, and this fool's also a loser when he's sick, you know? And
what is it about men that, like, when we get sick, like, we can fight?
You're nobody.
We're black. Like, we could go to war, bro. We could get down with 10 fools.
We got
jumped.
A fool?
I can't do shit.
Yeah.
But real shit, you know? And I see my mom, and I always think about, like, damn, what she went through was, like, I can't even really fathom or understand. Yeah. And I always put two and two together. I'm like, if my dad was in this position, he would have folded. Seeing what my mom did, the threats she got, everything from her own family, nah, like, you got to tip your hat off to that. You know, I don't care who it is, who you are, what you do. Like, my mom's my hero, and a lot of cats might be like, oh, this fool sucks.
Nah, that's real shit.
Think what you want, you know. My mom's a gangster. You know, think what you want, but you know, to you, your hero might be the thug in the hood. Nah, my mom's hero.
Dude on the music video, like,
fuck, you don't even know that fool.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Know
that
fool. Oh, that shit's not real shit to you, bro. You know what I'm saying?
He's not paying nothing, but go post him, bro.
This shit's scripted.
Yeah, it's scripted. Like, you guys, this is real.
I hate to like, I seen a meme on Instagram. It was like, motherfuckers be wishing Lil Durk happy birthday, but you ain't get your mom shit. You backwards, bro.
She let it down.
You seen the thing where people went to dinner for LeBron's birthday?
Yes. Oh yeah, they're like, I'm gonna throw something on the grill for LeBron. I'm like, bro, if you don't take your mom to dinner for her birthday,
go to Olive Garden, go to Cane's at least.
Y'all tripping?
Shit, doesn't know shit.
Dude, that man is a billionaire. He does not know.
He don't know.
He needs nobody celebrating him, bro. Yeah, like, and I think people we misunderstand, like, the people we really should be celebrating, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, to me, every time I leave the door, I leave my home, I'm always like, I want somebody to, if they ever put two and two together and ever realize that I'm Blanca's son, for them to go up to Blanca, my mom, and say, hey, you raised a good son. Like, because aside from all that, my mom will be like, oh, I did do a good job raising him.
That's her,
like,
my biggest son's a gangster.
Yeah, like, it makes her feel like, damn, like, no, I did do something, you know, and I want her to feel that, you know, and there's been people that have told her that, and she's told me, and she's like, damn, I'm proud of you. And I think, you know, I think we really was with the what sucked, and I guess you might not really need it, but we grew up not ever being praised for any cool thing that we did. Like, and at some point, I think parents make the mistake of being a little too hard on their kids and not telling them, like, hey, mijo, you did good today, bro.
Right. It's, like, never good enough. I go through the good same enough, shit. Bro. It's never good enough type shit.
And I'll tell you this, bro. Like, I had a homie who, his dad was, you know, he ran good. Bro, I'll tell you what. If he was an athlete right now, still functioning, he would have been
big,
big, bro. D1. Like, past D1. Yeah. Something crazy. And his dad pushed him so hard that fool hung himself two houses down from where we live. I don't want to say his name or his business because that's not
rest in peace.
Lou Gillingage. No, he's actually he didn't pass.
Nah, he didn't pass.
He's in a coma. Yeah, bro, but it's been since 2013. And it's like, you know, and my dad died without him ever telling me I did something good. Like, he was always on me. And mind you, I'm grateful for that because it made me a different animal now. Like, I constantly want more and more and more, but at a certain point, bro, you go back home and you're like, damn, like, that's why when people, like, when you're you, bro, you'll be like, hey, bro, good shit. Like, that's why I like to comment on people's stuff, too, or let them know, like, hey, bro, good shit, because It feels good, bro. Like, it feels good knowing that you're
that people are watching you and they're
the fruits of your labor, bro.
Exactly. You know what's so crazy? I think we all have that experience because we all have immigrant parents, and their problem is they don't know how to express it.
Yeah,
they love you more than they could ever express in the world. Yeah. They just, I think when we're children, like, we kind of verbalize that, like, oh, you didn't say it to me verbally, so that means it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Type shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But they do love you, though.
Your mom was bringing home that Little Caesars after work because she loved you.
Exactly.
If she didn't, she would have let your ass starve.
Fact.
Real
fact.
Shit.
That's real
right?
shit. Yeah,
you know
real
what
shit.
I mean?
Yeah.
Working that job because it was for you.
Right.
Yeah. If she didn't love you, she would have gave y'all up for adoption. Type
Straight
shit.
Up. Yeah. Or, you know or just would have been like, you know what? You guys are on your own. Because it happens to a lot of kids that your mom's like, hey, I can't do it. And they fold. But, you know, you're right, though, bro. Like, you see, now being older, you're like, damn, like, thankfully I didn't judge my mom for that little pizza, you know?
You know what it is? Like, honestly, like, the older I've gone, I realize I'm like, oh, shit, my parents are just human beings trying to figure that shit out.
They're trying to figure it out, too, just like everybody else, bro.
Yeah. And Little Caesars is good eats.
No, hell yeah. Right? But, like, when we were young, we were like, oh, our parents are our superheroes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, in the same respect, that I feel what you were saying, like, even though our moms went through all that shit, and yes, sometimes they did some shit I did not agree with or whatever, I still, like, I'm working to repay them back.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's still in your mind.
Yeah.
The thing that trips me out the most is that I sometimes think, I'm like, I'm older now than my parents were when they had me. So I'm trying to put myself in that mindset. I'm like, if someone, like, gave me a kid today, like, how good of a father would I be? Think how good of a role model would I be?
That's hard, bro.
And then I'm like, dude, these people were younger than me.
Yeah.
Came to a whole nother country, not knowing the language.
No internet.
No education.
Yeah.
My parents, like, my mom, I think, finished middle school. My dad didn't even finish elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I told my parents this story, but I went to Japan 2023, end of 2023. And I get there, and the airport's my first time in Asia, right? And I'm thirsty as fuck. I get off the airplane, and I'm trying to get a drink at a vending machine. And all this shit is in Japanese, right? So I don't understand shit. And I'm sitting there, like, trying to not look like a dumbass. And I'm looking around, making sure nobody's looking at me. I'm trying to click buttons, bro. I'm trying to scan my card. It's not working. And then people would get behind me to order. And I'd be like, oh, y'all can go ahead. I'm still looking.
And you've been trying to pee
with
there.
Yeah, the whole time I'm trying to look like, oh, what buttons do I press? And it's not working, bro. And I'm trying to think. I'm like, in that moment, I felt so, like, humiliated.
Out of
so
place.
like incompetent.
So little,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, bro. If I've traveled to, like, other countries, if I speak, like, more than one language, I have an education, I have the internet, right? And I feel this little, bro. Imagine trying to raise a family and, like, trying to pay bills or trying to, like, go to the DMV or, like, trying to, you know, talk to your boss and they don't speak the same language. Like, how would that feel?
Yeah, bro, that's demoralizing, bro.
Yeah, bro. And I'm like, damn, bro. Like, I can never look down on my parents ever for anything. Like, whatever mistakes they made, I'm like,
go
it's
by
part
me.
Of life.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I don't go around, like, mind you, I have, you know, till this day, bro, even I think till forever, like, there's a piece of me that I'm like, damn, like, I don't respect my pops to a certain extent. But as far as, like, him and the mistakes he made, like, it's all gravy with me. Like, you can't hold him to that. My dad grew up like an animal, like, so what am I supposed to expect from him, you know? But to me, like, what I think you could comprehend as even as an adult, I don't care who you are. It's like, and I think to me, that's the worst thing that I felt is like, at a certain point when my dad was going through all this and he had left the house and my mom had taken over the apartment and whatever. And he would, we ended up getting evicted. We had moved to my uncle's house and my mom would force my dad like, okay, if you're not going to do anything else for us and you're going to come pick them up and take them to school. We weren't zoned for, I wasn't zoned for Sunrise no more.
Mm.
He wasn't zoned for his school. Thankfully, Clark County, they put in a, you know, I don't know what it is.
Like a waiver.
A report, for me to still attend the school. Because they were giving us good resources, like food for Thanksgiving. Like, what I would never have thought, bro, growing up, that I would have been one of those kids. And that was very eye-opening for me, bro. I thought my shit didn't stink.
Yeah,
I remember there was a situation where I was in middle school, bro, and some chick in front of me. I was gonna say her name, but nah, I can't, bro. It was crazy. Like that was messed up. I was about to say her name, but she was sitting in front of me, bro. And we were in Ms. Sanders' class. It was our science teacher, and she was from a trailer park too. But I remember, and not Huerita, and she always smelled, you know, not too good. You knew where she was coming from, you know.
Right.
And a roach came out her hair, bro. And just ran down her shit, and we laughed. you know? And I was like, damn. And I'm like, you know, this is, you see it as a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, damn, where shit, how the tables turn, you know? No, now facts. I'm in this situation, you know, we don't even have water. My uncle doesn't let us get, my aunt was the type of individual who wouldn't let us get stuff from her fridge. If we didn't have nothing, she was telling my mom, tell your mom to get you stuff. I got in trouble for making a quesadilla once. So how do you think I'm going to feel?
Yeah.
You don't feel even part of society. Like, you feel like you're
outcast.
Something, yeah, an outcast, yeah. You know? And I remember my dad picking us up from school.
That's crazy. Hold on. My shit don't stink, outcast?
My shit don't stink, outcast. Damn, fire. Yeah.
No, but yeah,
fire. And he would pick us up because my mom would tell him, if you're not going to do nothing for us, then just take them to school. And he would be at the Dottie's all night, so he'd be falling asleep. And the fact that I would have to tell my brother, I would have to go to school worried, crying sometimes, because I would get dropped off first, and then he would get dropped off in Monaco, worried that my dad's not going to crash the whip because he was drugged out or falling asleep. And when I go try to give him a hug to say bye, he pushes me away. Like that, you know, and that to me was a big change of like, damn, like, that was what hurt me the most, is seeing two different people, like from a dad to then a guy that, like, he created you, and now he cares nothing about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's worried more so about an addiction than what really matters, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And more so to me, it's like, you got a little kid, bro. Like, how are you functioning? What are you doing? What's not making you think of him? Fuck me. Fuck my sister. We're old enough. Fuck it. Him, though. Like, that's just, it doesn't even register to me, bro. And during that time, bro, he'll tell you. I'm not one to tell his story, but during that time, you know, like I said, he was trying to get back at my mom for a lot of shit, for saying the truth. And because his addicted mind was so, he was conflicting with his own mind, he ended up kidnapping my brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this. I want to hear the story.
He ended up kidnapping him, bro, over some shit that my mom had nothing, just to get back at my mom, but he'll tell you what happened. I don't know what happened that day. I was in school, but he'll tell you.
Yeah, it was a crazy, it felt like so long, but it all happened in like less than a day or 24
hours.
Yeah, 24 hours.
Quick.
And then, so I have a real attachment with LA, because that's where we're from. So I like going there, and we used to go there a lot.
We used to go, I don't mean to interrupt you, bro, but we used to go every 3 months.
Yeah.
And my dad would send us in the Greyhound, me and him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so we
would. Just to visit family.
Yeah, we would love it. We love it, bro. It's cool.
We
love
still Kevin. Do. Yeah. So
he tricked you with that?
Yeah, and he tricked me with that. And
you know, like when you tell your kid, we're going to Disneyland.
Yeah, something like
that. You go to the dentist.
Disneyland look kind of
the hood right here. This ain't Disneyland.
Where's Mickey Mouse? He's going to the left.
You know what I mean? But. Yeah, that had happened, and he had told me, because I have a close cousin over there that I'm really attached with, too. Like, we get along so well. So he told me that I was going to go to school over there, and having, you know, the great place that I love and the person that I definitely fuck with the most, I was excited, and he took me. It was, I forgot what day it was. I'm not even
It was a school day.
Yeah, like it a, was school a school day. He took me out of school.
Yeah.
And then from there, I didn't even have clothes. Like, he didn't get clothes with me. I didn't have a bag,
just
my book
on.
Bag.
He was sleeping in his whip.
Yeah, in the whip.
Shit.
And we just, he dipped. And I was too young to understand, but as soon as we would get in there, like, I think my mom had called him.
Yeah.
And they started arguing crazy. And obviously, I was right next to him, so I can overhear a little bit. I'm not dumb either, you know what I'm saying? And then they was just arguing about how my mom was going to call the police on him. And
we were telling my mom, because we were already on the, when my mom was on the phone with my dad, we were already at the house, me and my sister. We had gone out of school, and my mom's like, your dad kidnapped Steven. And it's like, my mom didn't know nothing, bro. And we were so fed up with, I was so fed up with my father that I was like, call the cop, deport that fool if you have to.
Call him,
you know, like to that extent, like. And he ended up taking him to Cali. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we had arrived there. And then as soon as we arrived there, it was like crazy timing. That's when he got the call from my mom's and was like, yo, you better bring him back. Like, that's my son. You better bring him back.
Yeah.
If not, we're going to have to call the cops on you.
Oh, yeah,
and it's crazy to that extent that you have to call the cops on your loved one that you love. You know what I'm saying? You married and stuff like that. So it was crazy. And then that had happened. And then she ended up getting me back somehow.
It's because my cousin, my uncle peeped it.
Yeah.
My uncle knew that my dad was not him, bro. My dad was.
So your dad's brother.
My dad's brother. Okay. My dad's brother was like, nah, take him back, bro. Like, you're fucking crazy. Like, take him back. Because my mom had also spoke to my uncle. I was like, yo, like, he just kidnapped Steven. Like, I'm not aware. The thing that sucked about it was that my dad wasn't even around for like 3 weeks. There's no leading up to like, hey, we might go to Cali. Nah, bro. He just showed up.
He just showed up. Hey, we're going to Cali. All right, fuck it. Let's go. Okay.
Yeah. And mind you, him and my mom aren't even talking like, or nothing. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, you got kidnapped, bro. Like, he kidnapped you. Like, you're not even on good terms with this guy, and he kidnaps you. But what's scary is that my dad wasn't right in his mind. Like, he was already super fucked up in the head. Like, the gambling, the drugs, his mind, like, it drifted elsewhere. So he was over there just,
anything could have happened to him,
you know? And
then really quick, like, you go to Cali. What part of Cali are we talking about exactly in LA? Like,
we're talking San Fernando. Yeah, San Fernando Valley.
Okay,
yeah,
San Fernando Valley. Just for the viewers to, like, kind of paint the picture.
Yeah, we're in San Fernando Valley. So it was a good, nice little 5-hour trip that he took thinking he was going to go to Disneyland. Hey,
Disneyland, that's in Anaheim. Yeah, yo, that's the far as fuck.
2 hours after that.
Yeah. And then my uncle was the one to finally, his older brother was the finally convince him, like, yo, you're fucking crazy. Like, take him back, bro. If not, we're going to call the cops. And my uncle was the one that told him, like, nah, Steven's not going nowhere. He's staying right here until we figure out how to get him back. Yeah. I forgot. I think he came back with someone else, though, bro.
Yeah, I don't remember coming back.
Yeah, he came back with someone else. He didn't come back with my dad.
And then he woke up and
that's how it be,
I think my uncle ended up bringing him back or somebody, because we have family that comes and goes, and he ended up taking him back. But that's when my anger grew even more, bro, from my father. And I was like, you know what? That's what I drew the line. I was like, you know what? Nah, fuck him, bro. Like, he lost all my respect. And then I was really like, man, he could fucking die, all this shit. And one day, you know, I was on my way to, I was supposed to go play state. And he was super
soccer,
you know, pushed me a lot in soccer and you know, whatever, you know, it may be. And we're getting ready for that. And the week of, my mom hits me up and she's like, hey, like, tu papá is it? He's in the hospital. And me being me, I'm like, man, fuck him. He can stay there. Like, go fuck, bro. You know? To me, it was better him away.
At least we know where he is.
At least I know where I'm at, you know? Yeah. And fuck him. Yeah. He can figure it out. And she's like, I want you to go see your dad. I'm like, nah, hell no. I was opposed to it, bro. And she sat me down. She's like, listen, like, I don't know what can happen. But as your mother, I have to tell you, you got to go see your dad at least once.
That takes the biggest.
Yeah, bro. Especially after, mind you, bro, he's thrown ollas at her at this point, breaks in. He broke the house door like 3 times trying to get in there, trying to hit my mom. Like, you've been through the most psychological, torture you could, physical abuse, and you still vouch for him. And that's what made me be like, all right, let me go see him because some shit may be up. I always sense shit. I have a real strong intuition or feeling with things. Like, I could feel things coming. And I was like, okay, this is the one where I think she's serious about. And so I went and, you know, the first thing he said, he's like, I'm sorry, like, that wasn't me. But he's like, but everything I did, everything I've done in life, he's like, I think I'm paying for it and I will pay. He's like, he said he don't run, you can never run from the Grim Reaper in Spanish. No te puedes, no me puedo ir de la parca, he said. So meaning he's like, I'm getting what I, and the thing with him, bro, is he was like a cat.
Not lives, bro. Just
he always, you know, like, wiggled his way around things. Yeah, he could have been in trouble and always
found a way, bro.
And now he's like,
but he knew.
He knew,
no matter what I do.
At the time when you saw your father there, do you think he changed? Like, was his whole demeanor change, or was still looking at him?
Nah, bro. What's so crazy, and it's funny you say that, bro, is that that's what trips me out. And I still try to sit down, bro, and be like, why? I asked so many questions about that because he was back to my dad that I remember when he apologized. Like, I think because you're so on the verge of death that it's just lingering and you feel it, you know it's the time to fucking, you know, to right settle the yeah.
Well, they say that people who work in like caring for people who are sick, they say that when it's your time, they get worried because you have like more energy. Yeah. Like the people that are like sick, they're in remission and stuff, they know it's like a terminal illness.
Yeah.
They're sick every day, and then out of nowhere, they just have more energy and they like they're happier, they're cheerful. That's when people know, like, oh shit, they're gonna die.
Oh shit.
Yeah. That happened. So I'm not sure if that might have been a thing where like it kind of made him snap out of it, because he knew like, oh shit, it's soon, like, and he's finally back to himself and he's like, I have to apologize.
It had to been that, bro. You know, I mean, I can't really.
Yeah, we don't
but,
know.
But I, it had to be that, because it was a whole, even his eyes, bro, he looked super, he's a different man. And the fact that he was able to apologize to me and be like, hey, let's watch a soccer game and do things like that. It shocked me. And until this day, I still have issues with it, like that. You feel like neglected over an addiction, and it's like, damn, like you allowed that to make that you
alive,
like
yeah.
it made that into that a shitty situation. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But he apologized. I was like, nah, man, like it's cool, bro. Like I love you, this and that. And then I was like, hey, but I have State Cup finals in Reno this weekend. This was on a Thursday. And he's like, damn, that was his dream, bro. For me to play with the team that I was in. He actually made me play with the team I was in. I didn't want to play with him because I hated all the guys there at that time. He's like, you're going to win with these guys. Trust, so go. And so I did. And when I told him that I wasn't going to go, that I wanted to stay with him because I was finally seeing my dad.
Right.
He was like, nah, you're tripping. He's like, you're going, bro. You fuck me. You're worrying about that. And so I was like, all right, cool. Like, I'll go. You know, I was kind of still like, nah, pushing back on it. He was like, nah, super wanting it to, you know, wanting me to go. I was like, just go. And I went. The whole time I was feeling weird. And on Saturday night, we had linked up with some chicks in downtown Reno. Mm. And we were kind of, you know, hanging around with them downtown. And at some point I started feeling sick. And I was like, hey, damn, like I told my buddy Eddie, I'm like, hey, like low-key, I'm gonna go to the room. I don't feel good, bro, at all. I felt off, bro. It was weird, bro. Weird feeling.
Did you already play?
We had played to get to the final on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
We're already ready.
On Sunday. Yeah, Saturday.
Buddy was on a two-man.
Yeah. yeah. That was like four of us. And my boy Eddie was the only one be like, yeah, dog, like, fuck it, I'll go with you. Like, don't even trip. Because he knew what I was going through.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, it's cool, I'll go with you. Like, this ain't even it.
And he was like, I'll take all four girls by
myself.
See ya.
He's like, man, bro, I'll catch you at the room. And so I, you know, he takes me to the room. He's like, hey, bro, you want some Pepto Bismol or something? Because my stomach started feeling weird. Like, I just started.
You just got that.
Yeah, bro. And I'm like, ooh, this ain't good, bro. And I knew I didn't eat nothing bad. Nothing was going on. So I was like, ooh, this don't seem right. And then I went to bed, whatever. Woke up the next day. We were playing. And my mom had called. My Adam was the one that he was like, hey, they're calling you. And my mom was like, hey, like, your pops died. And in my mind, I'm like, damn, like, why are you telling me right now? Like, why are you telling me in this moment where you know it means a lot to me, you know what this sport means to me, and you know how it probably will affect me? And later on, bro, she was kind of like, nah, I did that to build your character. You still have to perform regardless of how you feel. And anything you do, I don't care if it's sports, but you still have to perform. Your feelings mean nothing at that point. And, you know, now to know that she did it to build me into a different individual, I respect that, you know. And at the time, you're like, damn, like, why'd you even tell me at that, you know, in that situation? Like, I could have.
Yo, your mom is a gangster.
Anything,
bro.
Bro.
That's like straight out of a movie.
She played
shit.
Her cards right, bro.
Oh, yeah. Not even that, but going back a little bit, the fact that as a woman, as she dealt with all these things that your father put her through, you know, kidnapping her son, him having a gambling addiction, being in and out of the house, being on drugs, whatever the case may be, she still knew that in order for you guys to grow up, you still needed some father figure. Even if it wasn't a good father figure, you had to have something. Because I think like as a father, they either teach you how to be or how not to be. Either one really works. And she still was adult enough to tell you like, hey, go see him.
Yeah.
She could have easily been like, you know, he's in the hospital. Like, fuck him. And maybe not even have told you.
She could have been in her feelings and been like a lot of, you know,
a lot of women
like,
do that.
You're right.
Or put you against your dad.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Like, a lot of women have that thing where like, oh, your dad ain't shit.
Yeah.
He ain't shit. And they just shit talk him the whole time. And what that does to a kid, bro. As a woman, like, you start to feel like men ain't shit. And as a boy, you're like,
it confuses you, bro.
Yeah. You don't know where you're going.
Yeah, nah. And shout out to her, bro. And I think that's where I get my, like, I live by certain codes, and you live, yeah, bro. I just live by certain codes, and one of them is loyalty and just respect. Excuse me. And she's always been loyal to what she believed in. Like, she's always been the type to be like, if you're gonna stand up for something, stand on it. Stand on business regardless of whatever that person may feel or whatever you feel. Even if you're scared, you stand on it and you go through it the whole way. And seeing her made me how I am, bro. Like, now I have a certain, like, somebody can walk in here, bro, and start shit with you, but then start shit with them. I might not know them, but because they're acquainted with you, I'm after him.
Right, right.
I'm gonna jump on him just because I'm loyal to you.
Right, right.
Just because I'm not gonna let you, you know, go off alone. Like, there's, if we're here, we're here for war. We're all here for war.
Exactly. Either all of us or none of
us. Yeah, all of us are nothing, bro. And, you know, my mom was the one to show us, like, loyalty and respect. And if she said that she married my dad for a reason, then she's gonna do it for, you know, she's gonna go.
She saw it all the way through. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happened. And then, you know, I think,
Steven, did you get to see your dad when he was in the hospital?
I did. Well, I was there a whole lot, actually.
They saw the worst part. Yeah. I was in there.
Okay. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I saw when he had got the phone call, and I was feeling like, ooh, like, telling him a little far. At that age, I was 12. At that age, even I was, like, a little uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not wait? That's what I was thinking at the time. Why not wait until he gets back? But again, it's like, damn, you didn't tell me all the way until I finished. A couple of days, it don't seem right.
It's like there's never a right time.
Yeah, there's never a right time. You know what I'm saying? But she made that decision. You can't go against it. And sadly, I had to see him in the bed and everybody coming through. I was so lost, bro, because you kind of really don't understand what's going on at the time. You know what I'm saying? You're just sitting there, and it sucks because I had to see him tubed up, you know, unconscious, not saying a word for a long time, bro. So all you can do is speak to them. And, you know, they were trying to keep me on the side because, again,
you're not trying to see that.
That's kind of crazy letting his boy see him like that and stuff like that. So they kept me on the side, which was fine because I would probably be even more traumatized than I am now. But, you know, it did hurt a lot just seeing everything changing very fast. Like, your life is going to change. You know what I'm saying? You start to realize that your life is going to change. You're not going to see your father no more. You know what I'm saying? Even with all the things that happen, you still have love for your pops.
Yeah,
You still have love for your pops. So, you know, it sucked a whole lot, and I was missing out on a whole lot of things, especially growing up. So, you know, I had to click into reality pretty fast. You know what I'm saying? Just by watching him die. You know what I'm saying?
To me, bro, like when it hit, it fully hit, and I knew, like, damn, like, so I got home. And my uncle's house where we lived that we got evicted to, everybody that we knew, bro, was in the crib.
Everybody.
And I had to go home, bro, and I was just like, I don't want to deal with none of this, bro. Like, I went straight to my room. I remember, I think I said hi to a couple people. I went straight to my room. I sat down, bro, and the feeling of how scared I was, bro, I can't even, like, comprehend it to you. Because I sat down, and I was really like, damn, like, fuck, we're in for a ride. Like
all the anxiety.
Nah, bro, but it was more so like, not even what I was feeling in the moment. I was thinking like, damn, if this is 2016, 2019 is gonna be a bitch.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, the anticipation, knowing that, like you just start to think about, like, all the things that you have to get done now. Yeah. And now you, it's like, bro, how do you play? Like, it's like, I mean, to shrink it down a bit is like, you know, if you're playing soccer and someone gets a red card in the first half, you know the whole game is going to be different because, like, you're one less.
Yeah.
Now, like, think about that in life's terms. Like, fuck.
It's a real calm before the storm,
exactly.
Bro. At that time, this
is the worst I could feel, but I know this is the best that it's going to be for a long time.
And you know what, bro? I was always a knucklehead. I was always a chimp. I always did stupid things out of just being stupid. Like, I just like to have fun and roll my dice all the time. And at that time, I was like, dang, like, I gotta play my cards right. I'm either gonna get killed, suicide, or go to jail.
But I was like, to interject really quick, I'm sorry. Like, I think, like, where you're coming from, like, with how you were always talking about, man, I'm gonna roll the dice, fuck it, the whole shit. I think, like, genetically, like, that shit comes from your pops.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Course,
in a respectful manner.
Yeah.
But I think because of what you went through, and you were just like, there's a fork in the road. Either I'm gonna end up like OG, or I'm gonna take the different route.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and I think almost, you know, in a certain sense, like, that shit had to happen at that stage in your life
so we did something to
end up here.
Of course, bro.
Because if it ended up a few years earlier or a few years later,
shit could have been different.
You see what I'm saying?
Nah, bro, and you're so right that you say that. It's crazy he says that because I always think, and I'm like, damn, people ask me how I feel about my dad dying. And you know what I say now, bro? I'm like, I guess it just had to happen for all this. For a reason, because I always go back and I'm like, man, I wonder who we would have been if this fool didn't die. We were given a lot when he was alive. And so, bro, I remember eating carrots without peeling it, you know, the outside skin, cucumbers, and oatmeal. And I had to perform and be an athlete on just that the whole day. It came to the CSN coaches to give me money and the Canes cards they would give out. They would give me like 20, and I was off on that. Like, that's what I was on. But it makes you a different individual, bro. Like, it really does. But going back to what he was saying, like, it just shows you so much, bro. Like, I'm so grateful. That's what I'm saying. I'm so grateful for all that, bro, because it made me into a different individual.
Yeah, it definitely made us for who we are now. And we do get asked that a lot. Like, would you change how your life was? And we always say no, because it played out pretty well. I think, honestly, not to toot our own horns, but I think we're very in, you know, we're very intact, we're sane, bro.
Like, I tell people all the time, like, usually people, you go crazy, bro. Like, I always was like, dang, like, there was times where I was like, I feel like I'm going crazy. Like, I really feel like I'm going crazy. But then I'm like, nah, like, let me rethink or go run. I would go on runs at 2 in the morning. I would go on runs at 2 in the morning, bro, and my mom wouldn't like it. But because I would do that for the simple fact that I'm like, damn, I need to harden up. Because I knew that something was cooking up, which was all the extra shit that came after my dad dying. And so I was like, something's cooking up. I'm like, I know it is. And I know something's bound to happen.
You got to be strong.
And so I had to be ready, build my character. Yeah. So I run that down Nellis up to Boulder Highway. From Owens to Boulder Highway.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
For those people who aren't from Vegas, the streets he's naming, running down that shit.
I got stuck up like 3 times there, chased. You know, people looking at you weird. People beeping because you're crazy. But that was my space to go cry when I would run. And I would go, that's how I felt like I needed to build my character. That's why, too, when my, you know, we got evicted and I had to take the city bus to school, I was cool with it. You know, and that's, I was fucking poked with the door handle by a guy that was on right there by the Browns where Sunrise is at. Mm. And he definitely stuck me in my stomach with it. And so shit like that ends up being like, it builds you, bro. Like, it makes you like harder. And that's what I needed to do in order to continue with all the other shit that was coming. And so my mom couldn't sleep and all that, but I knew I had to do it for some reason. And now I'm like, damn, I played my cards right. I had to move differently.
To interject again, like, if we really think about it in this room, like, any boxer that you look up to, they all went through extreme amounts of trauma.
The good ones.
I feel like it's fucked up, but it's kind of true. Like, in order to be a good boxer or whatever, like, you gotta, like, get put through the fucking ringer.
Yeah. That's what that Gervonta Davis was saying. He's like, I don't want to go to therapy yet. Because he said, once I go to therapy, I'm going to lose that fire.
Yeah. Isn't that? That's crazy.
And he's like, once I do that, he's like, I'm going to do that when I'm done fighting. Because I don't want to lose that fire right now.
Yeah.
So that's, like, a crazy thing to think about, how, you know, it's, like, 2 different ways of living life. But
And that's why it's funny you say that, bro, because we were talking about earlier. I could sense a guy who's a boxer, but like also too just
a
boxer.
There's a difference between a boxer and a fighter.
And a real fighter, like a fighter that has had to fight. Yeah, bro.
Speak on that.
There's 2 differences. Like I was telling them that before you got here, bro, yesterday, I saw a guy that one of my buddies fought in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him at the bowling alley.
Uh-huh.
But every time I see someone, I'm like, I wonder how I size up with him.
Okay.
I wonder how his energy feels.
I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I wonder. And I wonder how big he is. I want to see how big his hands are or how his knuckles look and all that stuff. I like seeing it to then see how I can go against that or
how I would match
how up. I would yeah. do, yeah, you yeah, know? Yeah, yeah. And again, it's everything out of respect. No, it's not, sure, you know, yeah. they work to where they need to get and, you know, shout out to them. It's just
that my thinking, the competitive spirit as a fighter yeah. as well, yeah.
And you approach him and you're like, oh, you're even nervous to say what's up to a fan. I'll eat you up, bro. You get me? Like, and it's that people want to act so gangsta, but it's like, but are you really that? Have you really seen an individual that's trying to hurt you and take your life in front of you? Or a guy who just trains as uses this as a sport? Like to me, I never got into boxing as far as like to get belts or to be cool, to be known. I've always fought guys just to fight guys. To gain my respect. And I can tell when a boxer is not about that. You'll spar me. But if, really I, if I'm in the 7-Eleven and you bump me and we're eye to eye.
You're going to be like, sorry, bro.
I'm taking your eyes out. I'm getting your eyes and putting them out of your socket. Like I'm going to go deep. Like, are you willing to go deep? And a lot of people don't realize that. Just because someone's a boxer don't mean they're tough or cool. Like,
right, they're just good at boxing.
They're just good at that. Yeah that's just, it. That's a sport. Yeah. Like, it's just a shell of a thing.
You can get taught that, but you can't get taught how to be a dog.
Exactly.
Life makes you that.
Yeah. You don't buy none of that. And people get that mixed up. And it's like, that's why every time they tell me, oh, you got to spar, bring whoever. Because at the end of the day, if I was taught to fight back, so if I could fight back, then I have a chance.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to go home with my lick. I'm going to go home feeling like I had to defend myself and put on for the city, you know, put on for you, put on for your mom, for your pops. Like, are you just going to sit down and go, oh no, he's fucking me. Nah, I'm going to fight back. You know, I'm going to bite down. So there's a difference between a boxer and a fighter. I'll fight you bare knuckle wherever you want. Ask for me. That's just how it is. That's how I see it.
We got to have a On the Run boxing event.
Oh, shit. That'd be lit.
You saw Gilly the Kid did with Wallo? Yeah. They ended it quickly, I think.
Yeah.
If you do one of those, dope. Give me a bare knuckle. All
right, but, I don't know if that's lit.
We got to get sanctioned somehow.
Yeah, say we'll get a sanction this shit. We'll get
it. Actually, so Noah said he wants to bare knuckle someone.
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. No.
I heard it.
No. Hell no.
Nah, I've always liked bare knuckle more than boxing.
Yeah?
I just like the contact. Like, like the contact. Like, I know because I'm stupid, bro. I've always been dumb. Like, I've always been dumb in the sense that my pain tolerance is like, I think that comes too with everything we've been through. Like, it's just so much that it's pain. Like, it's a little bit cool. And so, like, I feel like if I hit somebody or just jab or smack you, you'll be like, oh, shit. But with me, it's kind of like a damn, like bad. We're in the right, fight, you know? Yeah. So that's why I like
a second.
Yeah. It's just more, to me, I've always been realistic. Like, what's logical? A street fight, or am I going to box you in the street?
Right.
Nah, I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to bite your ears off.
You ain't going to clinch.
No. I'm taking you deep, bro. I'm taking where you've never been.
That's real. But are there any lessons that you guys have learned now that you say like, oh, I didn't learn this when I was young because I lost my dad, but I had to learn this through life.
What would you say?
I think all our life we had to, you know, get these lessons.
Hella lesson, bro.
But like, what were some of the biggest things, I guess, that you had to learn through life because you lost your dad at a young age?
I think for me, learning how to speak up, you know what I'm saying? I was very in my shell. So
timid,
you know, very timid, you know what I'm saying? So even to ask for a cup of water, I'd be shy, you know what I'm saying? Just because, you know, I had, luckily, my siblings who would just give me a whole lot, you know what I'm saying? That's where there's a little, the pros and cons to it, and that was a little con because they didn't let me, you know, do that for myself, you know what I'm saying? Or at a young age, so I was kind of timid, and honestly, growing up, losing, you know, my father, we didn't really, you know, everybody was for themselves. And finally, I was, you know, I had to become a man, you know what I'm saying, at a young age. So I had to speak up for myself and for what I want, you know what I'm saying? It was only me, and pretty much I had to take care of myself at, you know, to some extent, you know what I'm saying? And that's what really, you know, I think was my biggest lesson, learning how to maneuver through the world for myself, you know what I'm saying?
to me, bro, it was the ability to listen to people, right? To be like, to pick up game wherever, mm-hmm. because I knew that I was on my own on this, and if I could pick up game from, that's what people don't realize when you're living in a hood, when you're living in an environment that's not really tailored for an individual to be 8, 17 and go on the city bus, like. You gain so much beauty off of it too, though, because I came across so many characters, so many different individuals, bro, that had a little bit of everything that I took, and I built a one singular person with all that. I'm not just me because that's me. Nah, bro, like I pick up game on everyone, even the bum that was like, nah, youngster, stick to the books, you know, do this, be motivated by this, and I would peep and be like, oh shit. So the ability to understand, that's why I'm so grateful. From multiple yes, people. To yeah. learn from people. Like people nowadays want to be so like self everything, and it's like, nah, I'm the other way. Like I was built off different individuals,
right?
You know, so I gotta praise them. But yeah, I think I got that is the ability to sit down and be like, damn, if I can pick up one thing that this guy gives me, it can change my life forever. And sure enough, bro, it changed my life forever. I knew how to move and navigate through things. By now, I didn't even need to be a gang member. I always liked to write solo. If I had beef, I'd rather go solo and go handle it myself. Because to me, the gang stuff was too much. Like, why am I going to get up to go put on for my hood, but I'm tired? Like, I'd rather just nap, bro. Like, I'd rather just chill, bro. But if this guy's hitting me up, being like, hey, like, you did something to me, like, let's figure it out. I'll go figure it out for you. Don't worry about it. You know, there's no one, or there's no other issues but you. Like, what you do and what, so I always wrote solo. That's why people always ask me, damn, you're not tired, you're never from a hood. Nah, but I've always wrote solo. Even till this day, bro, there's been situations where I've been in beefs with people, and we're in one area, and they're over there with all six guys. They don't even know I'm gone. And I'm already pulling up to them like, so what are we going to do about this? Mm. Solo, dolo. I don't need them, nobody. Like, there's no, you know. So it shows you a lot, bro. And that's what I think I'm most grateful for.
But speak to that, too. Like, you know, after your pop passes, how you were talking about all those elements that y'all still in the hood. All those elements are still there, right? You could have easily, oh, you know what? Pop's gone. Yeah, I'm going to just go join up with the big homie shit.
Or feel loved in that
way. Right, exactly. Because you're just looking for love.
Like filling a void.
Find comfort,
So you're fooling yourself like, oh, okay, the gang going to give me love. Yeah. But they sending you out on dummy missions.
Yeah.
And getting you fucked the fuck up.
And you're fucked.
Right?
Yeah.
But your big homie don't want to tell you that. I'm putting on for the hood. You know what I mean? I'm tatted up. You a walking billboard. I'm a dumbass.
You think you're tough though. Yeah, exactly. Like it makes you feel like you're tough. To me, that's why I always wrote solo, bro. Because that to me was tough. I don't need nobody.
Like, especially seeing that from my mom. See what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's that.
She
exactly.
She wrote solo
through all the bullshit that was going on at the moment. So we have a great role model that we can see and just be like, yo, we don't need nobody.
My mom always told me, you fear nothing.
Nothing.
You fear nothing. And she told me that and looked in my eyes when she said that. And so you fear nothing. You respect what's there. You respect another individual if you do get in a beef, but you still don't fear him. The only person you fear is probably God. That's it.
So in that way, your mom was your OG.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I tell you. My mom's my hero, bro. Like, my mom really looked out for me. Like, she really looked out for us and how we navigated our life. And like I said, too, though, like, I always hung out with older people. Older cats, I never been about. I am acquainted with people. People say what's up to me, this and that, but I try
don't
to
let
keep,
them get close.
Nah. Only certain people.
Yeah.
Only certain. And if it's an OG, I listen. I never think I'm cooler, I'm better. Nah, bro, because they always got some information that's going to change everything.
Facts, dude. They be telling it in the most confusing way.
But take a second, you're like, oh, that's what he meant.
Sometimes you don't even realize till it happens.
You get home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or to when something happens, you're like, oh, damn.
Oh, this is what he was talking
this
about.
This was this. But this was
you know what I want? You know what I want to like dig in a little deeper, though? Like how you were talking about like being able to listen to people. I think expounding on that, you listen to people like, whether it's a homeless motherfucker or a motherfucker in a Ferrari, if they got real good game for me, I'm going to listen.
I'm taking it,
right? But I think what's happening is, and this is actually think it's good to speak on, like a lot of young men now, they don't have any positive male influences, right? Mm-hmm. So they go hit the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see what Elon Musk is talking about. I'm going to go see what fucking Andrew Tate talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers talking about some, I hate women and all this crazy shit. And you're like, hold on, bro. What, this motherfucker talking about some bunk shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they, well, like, if you don't grab a motherfucker when he's like 12 or 13, he's stuck to, he's dead to rights.
That's a loose cap.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is like the OGs now who are supposed to be OGs want to
They ain't
get
teaching you
they
shit.
They gatekeep everything. Yeah. They don't want to teach you anything. They don't want to teach you how to make money the right way. They don't want to teach you how to move through life the proper way.
Yeah.
And it's sad because we were losing like this whole generation. Like we were talking about before the cameras were rolling. They're kind of useless.
You're
like,
useless.
They don't know how to do anything. Nah, they don't know how to do things the right way. Yeah. They don't even know how to do the wrong things.
You can even tell by looking at them. They're all pale.
Yeah.
They don't leave the crib.
Yeah.
They got no scratches, marks. Yeah. Like, you know, there's no, you don't play manhunt. You don't go out, throw pine cones at bums. Like you did nothing.
And you think, I don't know about that.
Guys, I used to do that.
But he just said being outside. Being outside. Like, you like, you got lived life.
Now this homeless man gave you hella game. You throwing pine cones.
I get what he's saying, though. That was not saying shit on bums, hey, you outside, you outside.
That's some East Side shit, huh?
My fault. What he's saying is the OGs who've been outside, they got to pull the young niggas. Yeah, like, hey, come here. Let me tell you, you know.
But
the
no,
OGs trying to be young niggas. It doesn't work
that's
like that.
True. Yeah, that's the truth nowadays. True. Yeah, like now they're trying to compete with these young. And it's like back then, I got the real game. Like, and that's why I'm so thankful too, because it's like I got real game off real trench work. Like I had to take the bus. Like, there was no other way around me going to school. I had to take the bus, and that's where I got my game. I got it from the natural source, from the where you should get it from the OGs that are there in that corner every day, living on that blanket when it's cold, when it's hot, and they're still there. And I got it from him who's living in it and who's still living in it, not doing nothing about his situation, but he's telling you so you don't do it. And that's
cares,
the source, dog. Right? Yeah.
Motherfuckers now, Casanata's niggas OG.
Yeah, and and now it's getting everything
the same
on
age. That ass, maybe younger.
Well, it's because people are so insecure. Like me, I never looked at it as that. Like we were talking about earlier, again, we should have kept the cameras rolling before. It was a good conversation.
Okay. It was a good combo.
But I was saying how, you know, I look at people like starting podcasts in the city, and even if it's someone just starting out, I don't look down on them. I don't look at it like, oh, like I'm better than you or I gotta keep you down so I can look cool. To me, it's like, if I want to help you out, I want to give you game, because what I learned in 2 years, if I could give it to you and you learn it in 4 months, to me, that's like, yo,
good.
That's dope.
Yeah, save you the fucking headache, please.
Yeah, we're winning. And then now, if you do big, I will never feel like, yo, why is he winning, not me?
Nah,
I'll feel like, yo, that's what's up. Yeah. That's real respect. You don't even got to tell me. But the fact that you most likely would look at me and be like, yo, the reason I'm this successful is because he looked out for me. Exactly. He taught me all the game. Yeah. He connected me with the right people. He told me like what to do, what not to do. To me, that's love, and I love seeing that.
Hell yeah.
I'd rather see that than me staying at the top by keeping everybody down.
Because
you just, you scared. I'm not scared to compete.
Exactly.
I'm not scared to compete.
Thing,
like, if you're doing your thing, I'm like, that's love, you know, but we're going to come harder now.
Because
I'm trying to go, you know, tit for tat with you. So
people are scared of that pressure.
Yeah,
people
are scared.
People run from that type of pressure.
For sure.
And I think that's the wrong thing. Like, if anything, like, people always tell us, like, it's dumb. Like, people always tell, who's a better fighter?
Yeah, we hate that question.
Bro, like, ain't better shit. It's me or nothing.
Yeah,
that's how you're supposed to feel.
Not only that, though, too, though, like, I'm here to uplift this fool.
Yeah.
Why would I be like, nah, I fucking whoop his ass and this and that? I'd say it fucking around, but if we're being serious, I'm like, why are you even asking that question? Yeah. Like, why would I talk down on my brother, bro?
Right, exactly.
Like, why
especially,
would I...
yeah, being brothers, exactly. That just kind of makes the question
dumb
just very
like, dumb. As
dumb.
Shit. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Why even... We train hard... We both train hard. Like, I know what he does. I know what I do.
Yeah.
It's a very more respecting, like, and same with other things too. Like, I always, like, there was a fucking, we went to First Friday, bro. Mm. And there was a bunch of people dancing in a contest. Dumb as fuck. They look dumb. But I told my buddy Juan, I'm like, hey, bro, you know what's crazy? They look fucking dumb. But the courage to get up there. The swag to look at you, and when he's done, he's like, what? Like, I did it.
Yeah,
but you look dumb.
No.
But the fact that he did it.
They just don't care.
Like, respect.
But that's that's just a life lesson.
Yeah,
period.
Like, you know, respect, bro. Like, you did that. Like,
I mean, in a way, like, walking into a boxing gym is the same way. You're going to get humbled.
It's intimidating.
First day, you're going to get humbled. But the fact that you got in there and said, you know, I'm gonna do this because I wanna, even if it's just, you know, to stay in shape or to, you know, self defense or whatever, it takes courage to get in there. And yeah, you always say every time I ask you about your brother, you're like, yeah, bro, this dude give me the hardest rounds when it's sparring, like more than anybody. Yeah. So like that's how it should be.
Yeah, and to me, boxing has always been a tool for me to. I feel like elsewhere, like not no more. Now I've been more like, okay, cool. Like I belong in this motherfucker, you know? But I've always felt outcasted. And so when I'm in a boxing gym, I see so many people like me and I'm rewarded for being a force of nature, for being a competitor, for being someone that I didn't start boxing when I was five, like all these fucking guys. I started just because I like to fight, you know, late, you can say whatever, but I fight like I've been fighting since I was five. And I've always been the type of dude to be like, if he breathes the same oxygen I do, then he's fair game too, you know? And I try my best just to be the best fighter I can be. But also too is it helps you just be a human. Mm-hmm. It humbles you so much knowing that there's people that can take you out too. You know, you're aware of that. But to me, that's what boxing does. And I never did it for any belts, for nothing, clout, none of that, bro. I just do it because I like to get down. I like to get busy, you know? And
it's a great form of therapy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like a lot of people go to somebody to talk to and we just have the bags. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how our upbringing was. It was tough. You know what I'm saying? So it just clashed in perfectly where we can, you know, fight somebody, they can beat our ass. And
feel good.
You know what I'm saying? And still feel good at the end of the day because, again, we're putting our body into some good and not drugs or gangs and stuff.
And if
like
you
that,
think about you know it, bro, saying? I tell people this all the time. I'm like, I love to spar my brother. I love it because every time I spar him, there's something different I got to worry about. Mm. And I know people are like, oh, you got to spar other place. That's cool. But our mindset, you got to realize this is my little brother. Yeah. I'm taking anybody out for him. I don't care who you are. I'm taking you out.
I got to dap you up because I said the same shit on here. I said, because I have a younger sister, I'm like, if a motherfucker even think they're going to mess with my sister,
I'm doing time. Everything else is out the window, bro. If I'm going to keep it real with you. Everything else is out the window. And this is my pride and joy. Not because I say I created this fool. Nah, he created his own self. But that's my pride and joy. For so sure, yeah. Anything threatening around him was my threat. So now you got to deal with me. And I'm going to come at you with strategy. I'm not dumb. I'm going to get you. And if I feel that way about him, and every time I step in there, I want to take his fucking head off.
We're going to blow that.
What makes you think I won't want to do that to somebody else?
Exactly, yeah.
I went to war with my dad. Think I fucking won't go to war with you? Just fucking tripping. I'm going deep. I'm going even deeper. That's what I'm telling you. I give people no slack, bro. I try. I can't. It's, as a boxer.
Yeah.
You know, and in a threatening manner too. But boxing just showed you so much, bro. Humility and the ego. I told him when he started boxing, he's like, what do you think about box? I'm like, one thing I'm going to tell you is you enter a boxing gym with respect. You're there to listen. You're not there to think that you're cool, you're tough, because you're going to get humbled.
I've seen it. The real
you know
shit.
What I mean? Yeah. So, and thankfully, we've been gaining our respect by just being fighters, bro. Being fighters and no extra shit. Just showing up, you know? And anybody, there's a lot of people out there that could probably whoop my ass. But whoop my ass. I don't care. I'm still going to be in there.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
If there was one piece of advice you could give someone, and especially young men who have lost their father, maybe teenage years, kind of similar age that you guys were, what would that advice be?
My piece of advice I would give somebody that, you know, is going through a situation that, you know, not having a father, or maybe someone, bro, there's situations out there that you're like, damn, how you doing it, bro? But if you're going through anything tough, anything crazy like that, I would say just believe in yourself, bro. I know it's cliche to say, but you yourself, you know what you can accomplish, bro. Like it's a feeling that you could. And I always felt that I could. Always. There's times where you're like, damn, this is negative, this is this and that. But in the back of my head, I've always told myself, but I'm gangster for this. I'm made for this, bro. So I don't go against myself. I listen to what I feel. And I understand myself. I would tell people, you know, sit down and really try to understand who you are. And if you need work in a certain area, work on that. And then build a different individual. Don't idolize just one person. Idolize everybody you come across, because I can get something from you, you, and you. There's always something to get off somebody. So I would say trust in yourself and trust in your abilities, because you might be down now, but later on you're going to be up. And you're going to be like, how I even make it? By just trusting in me, you know? Because at the end of the day, yeah, I had a lot of help, you know, as far as people that were there, but I was the one that went back home and I had to force myself to go to bed and wake up with a different attitude, regardless if I felt like shit. But because I believed in myself, I knew that I got up and I went to work, that it was all going to fall into place. And all you got to do is work, really. Just hang on.
Yeah, and a lot of times, time will tell, time will plan itself. You got to have a lot of patience with this. You know what I'm saying? A lot of patience with life in general. And just make sure that you know that there's going to be sunlight at the end of this darkness. You know what I'm saying?
Always, bro. Always. It's cliche what we're saying, yeah, but bro, it's just so, like, it's weird, bro.
Yeah, time will tell, and you just got to have patience with it. Everything's going to plan out, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying?
My pops died in 2015.
Yeah.
Fuck, was it 2015?
Yeah.
15, bro. 15. 10 and years. It's 10 years now.
And we had to be patient.
And it took 9 years to feel how I feel right now. 9 years. If you would have told me that the first year of, fuck that shit. Fuck that. I'm not waiting 9 years, bro, to feel good.
Good. Yeah.
Just, and this, I'm just saying, just to feel good, bro. You're not, there's no big money coming in. There's no fucking, I'm riding in a Tahoe with a driver. I'm going to the ridges to live by Bishop. Nah, the feeling. To feel like, now I can get the world by its balls and make it mine. That, I think, is what he's talking about, is that you will persevere if you just hold on. Is what I was saying in the other part. You have to hold on, bro. Regardless of how long it takes, there's always good. You don't work no more. This is what you do. This is you, bro. This is you guys. Did you ever think you were going to do this?
Hell no.
And it's like, no. That's what I'm saying. And it's like, you gotta believe and you gotta have patience. Yeah, and it's all shit that you hear on social media, but it's real shit.
Though, yeah.
It's true. But no, I was going to say this, like, researching for this episode is crazy, because what was that first episode y'all did? What year was that?
2023 in May. So it's almost
2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah. Right. If you go back, and watch that first episode, just because I just met you today, obviously, but
the energy is different, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what tripped me out watching the first interview to today. I'm like, yo, those are two totally different people.
Yeah, it was grim. It's grim. People, right. Yeah, it's grim. People don't realize, bro, like, it, you gotta, like, you always have to, there's always evolution. Like, I don't care who, and I'm not even evolving for nothing. I'm just evolving because I want to be a solid man, right, a better man, right, but just not right. only to myself, but everybody. As a thank you to everybody that helped me. Like, my energy means a lot. My aura means a lot. So if I could bring some positivity, some, like, damn, there's hope in this guy. I won. I'm not looking for money. I'm not looking for no riches, no being cool. Like, nah, it's so that you can be like, damn, how the fuck he do that in? That's possible. Bet. I'm in that. Like, yeah, that to me is satisfying, bro. And I tell him all the time, like, I got to keep you sharp, bro. So whenever he's fucking up in a way or doing something he shouldn't supposed to, even when he's giving out a negative energy, I'll tell this motherfucker, hey, fix that shit, bro. Because I got to keep him sharp.
For sure.
You know, and I think it's dope. I appreciate that, bro. You saying that.
Because
I really,
hell yeah.
You know, I've really worked hard to be, you know, me. And I think that's one of the hardest things is understanding myself. I've never really been able to sit down and be like, damn, let me reflect on this. Or, you know what, bro? I've always had a hard time with being like, let me reflect on also the good I've done.
For sure.
You know, we don't talk about it, I don't post it, but I've been to schools and I speak to the kids and I give them my story, you know, because I'm like, damn, like, if I can't give back financially, like,
I'm gonna get back.
I do it for free, bro, because, you know, a lot of these kids, they're lost, bro. Like, they don't know what direction they're going, and if I can shed some type of, like, little grain of salt, like, that makes me feel good, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Or knowing that I might have changed this guy's life, shout out, you know. Mm-hmm. But really, I'm just, you know, for everybody listening, I'm just another dude. We're nobody special. It's everybody can do what we do. It's just you got to really put it in your mind to accomplish it, regardless of what you're going through. Like, that shit can't be an excuse at all. Either you get up and do it, or you're going to sit there and cry about it all day. Yeah. You have your choice.
No, definitely. You know? Yeah, I think that first episode, it was kind of like the beginning period of the transition to get to where you are
now. Yeah, bro.
And you were saying that too, and it's crazy. Like, 9 years, that's almost a third of your life now. Yeah. Nine years is basically almost what you had lived up to that point. Mm-hmm. So to think, like, that's how long it's going to take.
Yeah. But the thing is, bro, that even today, like, I'd be thinking about that, I'm like, damn. You did lose like 9 years of, like, if I started, like, I think I'm like, damn, if I started boxing in 2018, I'm up. You know, I'd have been up. But that just wasn't my story. That's just not how it's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for it, but it is demoralizing. So I'm like, damn, fuck, 9 years? That's a lot. That's crazy.
But bro, did you, I don't think it's wasted. I think it's like you said, it had to happen.
Yeah, I get my idea. Yeah, like, yeah, damn, yeah. I wait. No, but then I go back you. And I'm like,
had to again, those like, lessons you were taught during that time.
Exactly.
And
the person you were meant to be. It bids you. But yeah, like, because I feel that way now too. Like, I'm sure in 3 years from now, if I'm still around, I would probably be like, damn,
what do you mean if you're still around?
Yeah, we don't know.
You're still in your 20s. I don't know. You're talking like Tupac.
At the end of the day, none of us know.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if God allows me to see 3 years from now, I'll probably look back.
Of course, bro. Come on.
But I'm trying to say, like, right. I'm going to look back and I'm going to be like, damn, I didn't know what I was talking. Because I still feel that way now. I'm like, I thought last year I had it figured out. Even this podcast game, I'm like, damn, last year I was like,
have it figured
but
out.
I'm like, there's never. Always more to learn. There's always more to do. There's always new perspectives. You never stop learning. Never. Yeah. So like, you'll probably, in 3 years, you'll look back and you're like, now, it took 12 years to get to where I'm now. Yeah. It took 20 years to get to where I'm now. No. But the whole time, it's just like, you've always been you.
Yeah.
It's just, you're always going to feel like you, or you should always feel like you're getting better.
Hey, bro, and for the people, how do you guys stay more? Like, what do you guys do to, like, be like, damn, like, I want more. Like, I'm not satisfied with this. Like, what do you guys do, or how do you guys think to do, like,
for me,
to be different, bro? Because now everybody wants to be like each other.
Yeah, right. For me, I think I still got that chip on my shoulder, right? Because motherfuckers that know me, like, they could probably say the same shit, like, oh, Noah's funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever. Like, but sometimes motherfuckers take advantage of that on some, like, oh, Noah's a goof. We don't got to take him serious.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, motherfucker, I peeped.
Well, I'm actually the smartest one in the
room. Exactly,
room
I'm actually peeping everything you do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think I'm a goof, motherfucker, I'm smarter than you type shit.
Yeah.
And then also, like, how you were saying, like, me and my mom, sometimes we argue whatever the fuck, but that's my heart type shit. You know what I mean? Like, if I feel like, whatever I do work-wise, this shit, my job, whatever the fuck, like, it all, I'm trying to pay that lady back.
Yeah.
If I can't do that, I failed.
Yeah.
Type shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hell yeah.
So I think for a lot of people, you got to find whatever that thing is, and, like, that's what keeps you up at night, and, like, keeps you going type shit.
Yeah. And use that as fuel, huh?
No, that's the, exactly. Hey, bro, that's the motherfucking fuel.
We'll get you guys. I want to hear your guys too. Mm-hmm. But what I was gonna ask you is, because you kind of have the same energy, like I have, you know, like I'm funny and shit like that.
Right. Like, but that, and when it comes to my family and like shit, I take serious. Like, shit ain't no
joke.
Did you
ever use like laughter and comedy as like a tool for you to feel like, damn, like my day's better? Like, you ever use it?
Yeah. No, because like, I'll say this, like, if I'm not funny and making everybody laugh in the room, then I'm really fucked up.
That's what I'm saying. And that's how I am, bro.
I've been in them spots. Like, I know, like, like that 9 years you went through, like, to me, that's that cloud.
Yeah,
right?
Bro.
For me, that was 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. I was fucked up. Like, my mental was just off type shit. You know what I mean? I was broke. I was all type of shit.
that shit ain't funny,
it's
bro.
Bitch, nah, that nah, real shit. Real shit. That shit
ain't funny. We can laugh now because we can laugh.
But what I'm saying is like, when you fucked up like that, like, you just agitated quick as fuck.
Yeah, bro.
So somebody bump you at Walmart. What's up, bitch ass nigga? What's up with you?
Go,
not real shit, though.
Yeah. People don't realize that shit. Yeah,
that shit
true.
Is crazy. Yeah.
You're on go,
Like, I have to be funny, because if I'm not, then my mental's off. Like, you guys, my mom, like, I love my son. He's great. but this nigga's crazy. I can't even lie to you.
Yeah.
Right? Thank God he didn't do nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But he could wild out if I wanted to, type shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, I've always really been big on like, I treat people with respect no matter what.
Valid. Right? Yeah, hell yeah. Straight up.
So like,
nah, that's true.
That's the thing. It's just like, even if motherfuckers say shit about me or whatever the fuck, I'm like, I'm gonna practice patience.
Yeah.
Cause with me, like, you know, I got a slick mouth. I'm gonna say some shit, the whole room gonna be laughing, and you're gonna be hot.
The music gonna stop, everybody gonna look like,
Yeah, no, dead ass. No, real shit though. Yeah, so that's true. That's really what it is for me though. Like, so how we were talking about, like, motherfuckers, I feel like today, like, people don't have morals and principles type
more
shit.
Morals and principles, yeah. And one thing that motivates them. Like, you got to find that one thing. They're just living to live.
Just be around
or
type
living
shit.
For materialistic.
Or living for materialistic shit. Yeah.
What about you?
You know, so I grew up in a big family. So right. I was a family of 6 kids. And we grew up pretty broke. But one thing that I remember.
Wrong, bro. That's how broke.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like. Like, no, like, how the house got foreclosed over there, bro. Like, I remember, like, just so much shit happening, and, like, I didn't really grow up with a dad, like, at all. And, like, I just remember, like...
How did that ever make you feel growing up, bro?
It was hard, I think, because, like, for me personally, I'm not the oldest. I'm, like, more of a middle child.
Right.
And, I don't know, just, like, at the time when it happened, or just even growing up, like, no one cared. I didn't care. So, like all throughout my life, I kind of just, like, went with the flow of it. And, you know, just kind of hearing you guys' story today, kind of just brought back memories of, like, oh, shit, I did go through that.
Yeah.
Like, abusive shit. And, like, it's hard for me, but that's my motivation. Like, yeah. I never want to be there ever.
Yeah.
That's my motivation for this stuff.
Hell yeah, bro. That's bad. Shout out to you, bro, because I try to explain it to people as best I can, bro. And yeah, you might see us good and, you know, feeling good, but damn, that should be grim. Grim, bro. But
thanks.
Shout out to you, bro. Hell yeah.
Yes,
sir. Also, too, though, I feel like people don't, to get to what he was saying, I don't mean to get to, because I know you're
No, go ahead.
But to me, bro, why I like to be nice to people and good to people and make them feel like welcome, and people might think it's soft or pussy or whatever the case may be, but I try to make people feel like they're cool when they're around me, because this world could be grim as fuck, bro, and I don't know what the other individual's going through.
Facts.
Yeah. And when how I was feeling,
facts.
I was like, man, I wish everybody could know what the fuck I'm feeling, bro. I was in wanting to be a bad or scum individual. You know, it just played out like that. And now I have to go through these trials and tribulations looking like I'm the fucking problem.
Yeah. I think some things that kind of like changed from my mindset. Like I said, I didn't really care back then, but it's changed now. But like some things I now hold to myself where it's like looking back and like, or whenever I'm like not motivated. It's like, no one yells at a rock, right? So it's like, the things in the past, you can't change.
Nah,
right? You can get mad at it all you want. You can be like, yeah, I should have done this, should have done that. And it's like, the best time to have done something, like you said, was like start boxing in 2018. It would have been like, best time to start boxing would have been 20 years ago.
Best case scenario,
right?
Yeah.
But now the second best time is right now.
Exactly.
Right? Wow. So it's like, looking at stuff like that, it's like, okay, well, can't change much for what I did, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing I also look at is like, everybody's got a sob story.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who gives a fuck about you?
Exactly.
Right. And so it's like at the end of the day, when you're saying like, when your mom told you, like, hey, when I told your dad died right before your game, like, your feelings doesn't matter.
Don't.
And at a certain point, she's right. Like,
yeah.
In certain situations, when you're performing, your feelings cannot interfere with what you're doing.
You perform, bro.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, that to me speaks volumes of like I said, like, hearing some of your stuff, I was just like, oh shit, like, you guys brought up a whole can of worms back in my life where I was just like, damn, I really did go through some of that shit. And it's like, that's who we are today.
Exactly.
You know, the way we think, the way we talk, the way we dress, the people we interact with, right? Like you said, like, you're always paranoid and people call you paranoid. But it's not paranoid to you, right? Nah. It's how you live.
It's just normal. Right?
It's normal. Yeah,
it becomes normal.
Yeah. So that's kind of the way I kind of like think of life from here on out.
That's shout out to you, bro. And how I have felt the worst a human can feel. Just in general, like I have felt the worst. Like I've been put down, and I have felt so little, like microspect. I felt so little, and to feel that, it makes me sad. Being like, damn, this person's feeling like that. Like that shit, it fucks me up. And that's why I say I try to be as cool as I can with people, and give them their little shine too. You know, because you know, you don't know.
For sure.
What about you, B?
Man, I got a long story, but to keep it short, it's kind of really two things. First, it took me really getting to understand where I come from to know like where I am today, because we're all kids of immigrant parents. It's almost like we just spawned in America, but you don't know everything that it took to get here.
Yeah.
You don't know like the whole backstory to it.
Right. It's like the Godfather.
It is though. So I went to Mexico in like, I forgot when it was, but I had never, like I always called my grandparents. I had always taught, I'm close to my uncles and aunts and cousins and stuff in Mexico, but the conversations would never really go past like, hey, how are you? I'm good. Okay. Nice to talk to you. Bye.
Yeah.
It took until my grandparents passed, unfortunately, that I really started getting close. And that's one thing I regret, is not asking them enough things. Because my parents would tell me things about their childhood. They would tell me about my grandparents, about how they lived. But it never really like sank in for me. And on a trip when I had gone there, I had really started asking my uncles and aunts, my cousins, about who my grandparents were. So the little town that my parents are from, my grandpa started that town. He was living in a different town, and it was all just fucked up. I don't know exactly why, but he decided to one day just be like, you know, fuck y'all. We're going to make our own town. Mm. So it was him. He was like, I think 17 or 19. He was the oldest one, and it was like a few of his buddies, and they were just like, yo, we going to post up over here. Like, who want to come? And I never knew that. Mm. And this whole time, I'm just like, yeah, this town's there. To my mind, it's like it's been there since before then.
Yeah.
He started that town. And then hearing stories of my dad, like I talked to my aunt, his sister, who he just got to see her this year after 25 years of being apart.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them. But we had a conversation, and she was like, yeah, I remember when your dad dropped out of school. Your grandpa took him, and my dad's a twin, so his brother, she said, your grandpa took them to school to basically tell them, like, they're not going to come no more. We don't have money. Mm-hmm. Like, they would share shoes. One of them would have shoes, the other one wouldn't. They would share clothes. Like, they grew up rough.
Rough as fuck, yeah.
And to hear his stories of, like, having to go to Mexico City to work for the whole week and come home on the weekends with, like, the little money he could to buy food or, you know, whatever the case may be, give it to my grandparents so they could live for the week and then go back again. Him coming to, like, TJ and, you know, sleeping, like, on the street, like, just being fucked up, being away from home, like, having to come to America. Like, I look at my life and I'm like, what, like, the distance from me to $1 million is like 10% of the road from like where my grandfather was to start a town, where my dad was to go to another country and like start a family.
Yes.
But in a good way.
This fool was.
He was a pioneer, bro. He was Lewis and Clark.
But
the difference from like me to like my dreams, the difference from me to doing this, the difference from me to like having a family and being successful, whatever success might look like for whoever's watching this, is so small compared to like where we started from. So I always put myself in that perspective, and I'm like,
how could these people
do so much for me to get here and just throw it away?
Yeah.
And just be like, so I always put myself in those shoes.
That's the way.
And I'm like, what would my grandfather say if he saw me doing this?
Put your belt.
Like, what is my dad gonna think to think that like, yo, I crossed to another country and worked like a dog, and spent time away from my family and worked in the cold and the heat, like just destroyed my body, and now my son's doing this.
Yeah.
Like, how does that look? Like, how am I ever going to go back to God one day and then him be like, yo, I gave you all this. What did you do with it? for me to be like, oh yeah, you know, I just like nothing. I was just bullshitting.
Start at a clothing line.
Like, I was just bullshitting. Yeah. Like, nah, I want to do dope shit. Like, I want to look back and be like, yo, when I was 20, even if this doesn't work, God forbid. But to look back and be like, yo, when I was in my 20s, I had my own studio. Yeah, and I was like kicking it with my homies, recording, man, doing podcasts and shit. Want. Like, yeah, trying to help people. Like, to me, that I already won.
And that you, and you're good at something, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're good at something. And I think that's important because I think it's hard for people nowadays to find their niche, bro. To find, like, damn, I'm good at this, you know? Yeah. Or even seek it, you know? And that's, damn, I didn't even put it that way, like how you put it. Like,
you know what's crazy? Crazy. That it's crazy that you say that. My dad is the one that, like, even on top of me saying, like, yo, I'm doing this for him, he's literally the reason why I'm doing this. Mm. Like, I remember when I was little, I would be, like, you know, like, playing games or, like, doing whatever, just bullshitting. Just being in the house. Right?
Yeah,
I'm a kid.
Yeah.
My dad would always say, do something. And I would be like, do what? He's like, I don't care, just do something. Mm. Draw, like, pick up instrument, do something, right? And I would remember, like, him and my mom would always argue. They wouldn't fight, but they would kind of argue. Because my dad, for me and my brother, he would always like buy stuff for us. Mm. Like my brother's like, yo, I want to play the drums. He bought him a drum set, right? Motherfucker touched it like 2 times.
So
right?
Shit, my dad would do it too.
Yeah. So like, he bought me a guitar one day. Didn't never learn how to play the guitar. But no matter what it was, we would always go to him and be like, yo, I want to do this. Mm. He would never say no.
Yeah.
He would always be like, okay, and do. And he would buy it. And I look back and I'm like, yo, I disappointed this dude so many times by telling him like, nah, this time I'm gonna really stick to it.
Yeah, yeah.
He never gave up on me.
Is he gave you options?
He never gave up on me though. That's the one thing that I always take is like, he never gave up. He never saw me and was like, yo, he can't do it. Mm. Or he's not gonna do it. Or he's not this. No matter how many times I disappointed him, he always looked at me and was like, okay, this time's it.
Hell yeah.
The camera that we started recording with, he bought that camera for me. Wow. So like, he literally made this shit happen, like physically, emotionally, like whatever the case may be, he is the reason why we're doing this today.
Yeah.
So I always look back at it like that. And I'm like, yo, I could fail if it's just for me. If it's just for me, like, who cares if it works or not? But how am I gonna disappoint him?
Is that chip? That chip that you gotta carry.
And that's something that you gotta carry. Like my pops, like the same type of dude. I know for a fact this dude would give me his last dollar to make sure I'm all right. And that's the same way I am with, like, my sister or my mother. Like, if motherfuckers around me don't have that level of thinking in their brain, I don't even fuck
then,
with them.
Then because
straight up.
What are you going to bring to the table?
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Negativity? Like, exactly. You're not going to bring something that is not going to work for me. And, you know, this, again, like, there's the niches that I think you got to gravitate onto. For those that are listening, you might be finding yourself in a tough situation. I'm going to keep it a buck. Like, people might see me, what I post, and how deep I am with fighting. But people got to realize that I was gifted with being good at fighting. I never realized that I'd be here boxing like this full time and as I am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I never fathomed that. I always enjoyed it, but I never fathomed that I'd be doing it. And you get respect for that. And so you got to realize that, like, to me, fighting is everything, because it gave me everything I've wanted as far as respect, loyalty, people that around you that are positive, your mindset. It's given me everything. So I'm so infatuated with it because that's the one thing that no one can take from me that I'm good at. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
But to me, is that chip on my shoulder that, damn, what would my pops think? Or like, damn, like, what would this have been if he was alive? And so you kind of, and for, I don't know, for my brother, but for me, or even from you, for you, bro, that, you know, your pops, you don't have, you know, your pops, it's like, you keep chasing that, hoping that one day he's going to come down and be like, I'm proud of you, bro. You know what I mean? And how hard you worked, or damn, I didn't think you had that in you. But shit, look at me now, you gangster. You know? Right. You do it, right. You know? You just do it. You're right. Not waiting for that to happen. You just do it. Like, you're programmed like that now. And now it's I'm a go-getter. Like, that's what I do.
And it's so crazy how that's how important a father is. When even his memory, not even him being around, not even him getting on your ass to do it, not even him, you know, coming to you and giving you advice or telling you you did something right or wrong, even just his memory is something that's gonna give you like grounding in your life as a man, especially
shit in your head. Yeah. Like, I don't even remember. I was telling them that I'm like, damn, it's a trip because I don't remember how my dad speaks. I don't remember how he would carry a conversation with me. Yeah, dog, it's just kind of like that. That damn, like, the guy that created you, you know, like, you don't know nothing no more about him. He's just like...
a memory. Just a memory.
But why, though? You feel me? Like, that's a pop. So his memory is just constantly in your dome, and it bugs me. It bugs me, so I got to make something happen, you know? It's kind of like you, you know? And I tell people all the time, like, if they have their parents and they support you and they care for you, and, man, I wish my dad would come back just to whoop our ass, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To say something. But I know he's cool, you know? I know he knows I'm cool, and I'm sure, and I said that I posted this on Instagram before. It's like, to me, I live my life knowing that he's always looking at me, always next to me, around me, seeing what I'm doing. And wherever he's sitting at, I want him to see the best show he ever got, he ever saw. To be like, damn, that's mine. If it's real that they're alive, I want my dad to be like, damn, he carried himself how I like him bad, you know? And it's just cool, you know, to think that, like, I don't know, cool now, but back then it was like, damn, that's fucked up.
No, yeah,
but cool,
sure,
in a way, to be like, damn, like, okay, I figured this shit out already. I know how to live and conquer and accomplish, you know? And there's always, you know, for those listening, you should always be something you should go out and conquer. Something you should always go after, you know? But make it good. That's my only advice. Just make it something good, you know? Yeah.
Definitely, man. Man, I appreciate you guys sharing your time and your story with us, man. I feel like this is definitely needed, man. And this is such a good part two, bro. Like, I told you, man, the first one was good. This one is even better, man. So I hope you guys enjoyed. For the people that want to stay in touch with y'all, I know, Steven, you've been doing YouTube, and Goli, you've been posting on IG and stuff. You guys having fights coming up. But how could the people stay up to date with y'all?
For me, honestly, really, it's just Instagram. I'm a little dumb still when it comes to social media. I've always been dumb. We never grew up with, like, the technology. So to me, it's just social media. You can follow me on Instagram at Holandez, Holandez, 2. And give me a follow. I just be posting my boxing content.
Hell yeah.
And just, you know, that's pretty much it. But if anybody ever needs anything as far as, you know, somebody to talk to, somebody to, you know, vouch for you, you need me to go somewhere to help you with something, speak to you, my services are free, bro. The community, I think, matters the most, so I don't charge you for nothing. If you want to learn the art of war, if you want to learn how to fight, hit me up. I'm very well versed in that too. So
that's love.
Shout out, yeah.
Me too. I'm on IG a lot. You know what I'm saying? You can find my, I have a YouTube channel, you can find me on there. But my IG is Holandez10, Holandez10. And then, like he was saying, if y'all want to reach out, you know what I'm saying, y'all can feel comfortable to reach out to us, and we can maybe bring some joy into your life or some advice that you might need after hearing our story.
We don't gatekeep. We keep it real.
Never that. You get what I'm saying? We love to show that love and positivity. So as well for y'all, you know what I'm saying? We definitely here for you guys.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Likewise.
You know, we rock with people we need to rock with, you know?
So don't feel any type of way. We, you know, we're very welcoming with everybody, you know what I'm saying? So find that love and reaching out, you know what I'm saying? And we're gonna reach out and
we're here for the
twice
people.
As love.
We're for the people, and definitely, and in boxing too, we're for the people. Yeah. So shout out to everybody, the hood, the ghettos, everybody. the suburbs, whoever, man, whoever's listening, if you're from there, shout out to you, you know. And if you're punching through, getting through whatever you need to get through, keep punching, keep going, bro. It's not over for sure.
Keep going, man.
Yeah.
Noah.
Oh, you already know. Instagram, TikTok @N2 DATK. DMs open like a Roberto's. So you know, holler at me.
I haven't been on social media recently.
Come
but
on,
I
guess.
You gotta get back on.
Man.
You gotta get back on.
I'm trying to hear that shit, man. Give us a name.
The only active, I'm only active on IG mainly, so it's gonna be Ocho Benji. Make sure you guys follow. So.
Yeah, guys, go ahead and follow me. It's gonna be at AKBTG. Make sure you follow the podcast page OnTheRun.Pod. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. Wherever you can find podcasts, you're going to be able to find this. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We're looking forward to 2025, man. This is already a banger. This is already a best episode in a long, long time.
I'm going to go hug my mom right after this.
Facts. So we hope you guys enjoyed, man. We hope you guys enjoyed. Stay tuned for what's coming in 2025 because we got big, big plans. It's going to be our best year yet, God willing. And yeah, thank y'all so much. We'll see y'all next episode. Peace.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Of course. I want to give a big shout out to Brandon and On the Run Podcast and you guys as a co-host. You know, for giving us this platform. Like I said before, we're nobody. We're just two dudes that, you know, yeah, you can say hi to Rub, but at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. It's kind of what you do and what you build yourself off to be. And if it weren't for men like you, bro, I don't think we'd have this platform or the ability to help others. So I want to give you a big shout out, bro. And
appreciate that.
Brandon was actually always one of the ones to always, you know, keep me motivated, you know. And as tough as that may seem, as cool as that may seem, it's not even about that. Like, it's about helping each other, building each other. So shout out to On the Run Podcast and give them a follow, you know, watch their stuff, support them, do what you need to do. But, you know, big shout out to them, you know, good people around here. And Brandon, you're doing your thing, bro.
That's love. Yeah, that's love. That's love. I appreciate love, you. Yes, sir.
Straight up. Thank you, bro. All right. All On right. the Run Podcast, let's baby. Watch it.
Peace.
Look forward
Peace.
To Noah fighting bare knuckles.
No! Yeah. Yeah, anybody want to fight bare knuckle, hit me up.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Damn, B.